Okay, well, it's 7 o'clock, so I'll call the meeting to order. If you join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
So this is the November 7th, the meeting of the Planning Commission. There are three items on the agenda today. One dealing with the definition of height for buildings in a flood zone. Discussion of possible amendments to Chapter 185 and Sections Articles 10 and 11. And possible amendments to Chapter 1 and the definitions. And so in terms of roll call, we have Mike Harmer, Chuck McKinney, and Don Gritty and myself. I expect Jim Dedes to show up shortly. And we're blessed with two members of the public. So thank you both for coming. So first item is the minutes of the October 18th meeting.
Make a motion to approve the minutes.
And a second. Do I have a second?
Second.
Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
So the next item has to do with a continuation of discussions that we have been having about what to do with our concerns of elevating the base elevation of buildings due to increased storm and sea level rise and a commensurate increase in building height. And so what I did to facilitate this discussion was to create a presentation that answered some of the questions that I was charged with answering before. And so if you will indulge me, here's Jim. Make yourselves comfortable.
Pass it down, Jim.
And we will talk about this. Now we can have this over there, so that's fine too.
So this, do you need help? You good?
I hope I'm okay.
Okay.
Since I don't have a pointer, I thought I could just use the pointer up here. Just to say the mouse.
Oh, yeah, that'll work.
So basically what I tried to do was deal with a couple of examples, current and based on the model, and then have some maps that I hope will show the differences in the impacts. And if I can. Can everybody see that?
Yep.
So currently code is a ground-based measurement, measured from the road. And as everybody understands, our measurement is determined by grade, which is the highest point of the roadway in the center of the property. This is for an AO2 flood zone, where the FEMA requirement is 2 feet, the town's freeboard is 1. So the bottom of your house has to be at least 3 feet above the highest adjacent ground. The top of your house is limited by 35 feet from grade. And so today you have basically a 32-foot building envelope. Typically, you know, this is the ground on the property, this is the grade on the street. To a large extent, they're the same on most properties. Now, plus or minus 6 inches, whatnot. There is some lot-to-lot variation, but it's basically, you know, to a first approximation, grade and ground are the same. So our model was to somehow decouple
the height measurement from grade and tied to a flood level based parameter. So to tie the zero reference point to the 100-year flood level, if you will. And this creates a building envelope that in this picture is shown at 32 feet. So the base of the building is now tied not to grade, but is tied to the highest adjacent ground, as it is today. However, the roof line is not tied to grade. The roof line is tied to, in this case, 32 feet above the zero point, above the FEMA plus, above the highest adjacent ground. So there are two things that go into this model, and they're not strongly coupled. One is the model that we're going to tie building height measurements to sea level or flood level, to flood level. And the second is, what building envelope are we going to decide upon? And if there are questions, holler.
Well, go back to that one there. I mean, you might get to it in the next one, but there you show a 1 and a 1. Is that what the blue is, 1-1?
Well, the blue here is supposed to be...
I guess it's insignificant. It could be 1 or 3 is what you're saying?
Well, no, it's 3. I mean, three. This is the okay. FEMA plus 1 today.
Okay.
So it's the FEMA, which, I mean, the 2-foot flood level in an AO2 zone is 2 feet.
Plus the freeboard.
The freeboard is 1 foot. Yeah. 2 plus 1 is 3.
Okay.
Okay. These aren't drawn to scale, as I said.
That's, yeah. Just,
there are copies very, of this back here.
Very you good know, diagrams.
You know, yeah. This challenged my 10-year-old Surrey granddaughter. So for an AE7 zone, FEMA plus 1 is 8 feet. You know, so you've got your base of your building is currently, at 8 feet. The peak of your building is 35 feet above grade. 8 feet above sea level is, you know, an elevation of 8 feet versus 35 feet above grade. In some parts of the AE7 zone, grade is at a foot. So it's basically an elevation of, you know, 35 feet above grade could be 36 feet maximum. You got to start at 8. You know, you've got 28 feet that you have available to build. Not the 32 of the previous example, but now you're 28. As you get closer to the bay, you get shrunk down because grade's going down, but sea level is fixed. So that's the current situation. In the new proposal, you know, the two things. The first is we tie the building height to FEMA plus the freeboard. And, you know, you still have the same situation. You're still mandated by FEMA to have your base at 8 feet. In this model, you get 32 feet of building envelope, and the roof is wherever the roof, well, in that whole zone, the roof will be at an elevation of 40 feet. That's the elevation, 32 plus 8. Height above grade is going to differ depending on what grade is.
Right.
Now, within the model, one could choose to build higher. You know, you could build the FEMA plus 2 or FEMA plus 3 as a decision that you want to make. But then you would trade off that extra height, you know, your personal choice of freeboard, with a decrease in your building envelope. You get 32 feet above the minimum. If you want to build higher, then you get less, you know, correspondingly less freeboard. Again, this is, you know, 32 feet was the number I picked for reasons that will become, I think, apparent in the next couple of slides. But again, I want to decouple 32 feet issue from the rest of the model, which is we're going to tie height to flood level.
Mm-hmm. And make sure I understand what you were saying. If you're in a zone that you're required 1 foot of freeboard, and you decide to go 3, then you lose it from the top. Mm-hmm. Is that what you're saying?
You get 32 feet from...
From wherever you start from.
No, you get 32 feet from whatever the minimum requirement by the town is.
Okay.
And if you want to put your floor higher, you don't get extra height.
Okay.
Which is the same thing we have today. Okay. You know, you're pinned to 35 feet. If you want to put your first floor higher, you don't get 36 feet.
So if you were in a zone where you had to have 5 feet to start with, and you could go 32, which
correct.
Would be 37,
right.
But you decided to go 3, you still have to stop at 37.
Right.
Okay.
You know, that's the same situation we have today, and that's the kind of the difference, if you followed some of the articles in the paper recently, between mandatory freeboard and voluntary freeboard. So it would be above the mandatory freeboard, and you then trade off your building envelope or your, you know, habitable space envelope with the voluntary part if you want to.
Okay.
Okay. And I have questions from the audience. Fine, too, if there are any questions. So that kind of goes over some of the stuff with cartoons that we talked about at the last meeting. And then people said, well, how's this going to affect individual
examples.
Properties?
Yeah.
And so I started trying to deal with individual properties. But every property is a little different because, you know, the ground's not flat. And so what I tried to do, and I don't know how clear this picture is. I colored in the AO. So this is the south part of Dewey. This is the ocean.
Uh-huh.
This is the bay.
Now you have backwards.
You got it backwards.
Ocean.
Right.
Ocean
this
yeah.
is the bay.
Right.
Good, you're paying attention. Extra points. This is the ocean. This is sea breeze down here. So this area colored in here is the AO2 zone today.
AO2, the cross-hatched area, which
is... The cross-hatched area...
Is AO2.
Is AO2.
Okay, gotcha.
Okay?
Yeah.
If you squint, you'll see a jagged green line here, a jagged purple line here.
Yep.
Which cuts down here, and a black line here. So these are ISO contours that basically run north-south. This is the 4-foot contour.
Mm-hmm.
The green is the 6-foot, and the black is the 8-foot.
Okay.
So, you know, this is in part justifies my assertion that ground and grade are pretty much the same, because this measures the elevation of ground, grade as you go across, and since the line basically runs north-south, it's pretty much true. This tells you that properties in the AO2 zone go from a ground or grade level of 4 feet to about 9 feet.
Okay.
4, 6, 8, this is 10, you know, so 9 feet. So if you say the average is 6.5 feet, you know, plus or minus, what, a foot or so, then today you can build that plus 35.
So old would be...
Is that right?
I think you did. You have 44, it'd be 41. Old would be 35 plus, you say what?
So old would be 35 plus...
6.5.
6.5, right. So the average...
Okay.
Of the average elevation of the roof
today
is 41.5 feet.
Above sea level.
Above sea level.
Yeah.
So we're going from grade to sea level.
Right.
If you take the model,
right.
It's 32 feet above the FEMA plus one.
Okay. FEMA being
FEMA
six and a half.
Here you're, being two. Above grade.
Okay.
So if the average grade is 6.5 plus 2 is 8.5 plus 32 is 40.5.
Yeah, okay.
You know, so it's 6.5 plus 2 is 8.5 plus 1 is 9.5.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I forgot
plus
the freeboard.
Plus 32 is 41.5.
Yeah, you forgot the freeboard, right.
So
right.
With the number of 32, basically nothing changes. Yes, it changes, you know, 6 inches or a foot, lot to lot, side to side on the street, up and down the street.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's an average, and that's a typical number.
Great.
In AO, the flood level is tied to ground level. The FEMA level is 2 feet above the, basically above ground.
Yeah. So we're saying average 6.5 plus the 2 plus the 1 foot freeboard we already got in the code.
But it would be different in different zones.
Yes.
So this is the AO2 that if we pick 32 feet, basically no difference on average or for the typical house. There may be some differences house to house by a foot or something, but so the AO2 is about 40% of the properties in a flood zone. So that's 40% of the people to whom this applies. This is the AE6 zone. This again down here is you guys, sea breeze. This is about 40% of what's in a flood zone. You know, is it 45%? I didn't count. But it's about 40%. So here if you look at the numbers, this is a continuation of the 4 foot contour. This jagged line here is the 2 foot contour. And this, of course, is the 0 foot contour. So we have elevations that basically go from 1 foot to 5 feet. So the average grade, you know, say 1 foot, 2 foot, the average grade is about 3 plus or minus a foot. So 35 feet plus 3 is 38 plus or minus a foot. So that's the elevation of what you can build for today in terms of your top of your building.
Right.
This model would say we're now going to tie it to the flood level, which in this case is 86, and 6 plus 1 is 7. You know, if you want to use the number 32,
that's... 6 plus 1, the 1 being the freeboard.
6 plus 1 is the freeboard.
Yeah,
plus 32 is 39.
Yeah.
So, with 32 as the parameter for your living space, building envelope, you know, 39 versus 38 plus or minus 1. You know, you might say, well, maybe the number should be 31. You know, so you have a case where, you know, the average is 3. There's really not much difference between the two. At 32, the model becomes exactly equal to, well, becomes equivalent to our current standard at an elevation of 4 feet. So, you know, this is the 4 foot line. So the properties over here, there's no change.
Mm-hmm.
And the properties over here, well, maybe they gain a foot of elevation. But it's not a big change. Well, I mean, it's for you all to decide if it's a big change or not. But on average, typically, it's an increase of 1 foot.
Mm-hmm.
So there are two other flood zones. They're both small. Well, they have a few houses.
Mm-hmm.
This is the AE7, which if you were to squint at it, you would see we have a large parking lot, we have a hotel, we have a restaurant.
What street is that?
Pardon?
What street is that? What streets?
This is the Bay Vista Hotel, and this is, This is the Ivy,
and this is the
Civic League, okay. And you know, there are a couple of houses here, and there are a couple of, the Cajun Cove is in...
Kind of like the bayfront area of houses.
But it's only the very, very, it's only a few parts of the bay.
Right, right.
You know, there's probably fewer than 20 residences in here.
Right.
If you, so it's an 87, you know, 7 plus 1 is 8. The average grade here is... foot.
Yeah, right.
You know. So, you know, you get numbers like today is 36 and a half. With this model, it's 40. You know, so these can go up 3 or 4 feet, but these are the ones who are most at risk.
You kind of need it.
And these are the ones who, you know, in 4 months are going to be in a VE 7 zone.
Right.
So they're going to have been required for an additional foot, and they're going to be more at risk. But again, not many buildings. I wouldn't, you know, I think we should have a single number, if we take this model, a single number for the building envelope for all zones. And, you know, I think you want to deal with the 80 to 90% of the houses rather than... So this is the oceanfront, for which there probably are
the
VE12. You know, there are probably 50, 60 houses in this zone. You run through the numbers again, and you see that the change is about, is maybe 2 feet, 2 plus or minus 1 with this model.
Okay.
The VE12 zone is in March going to become, part is going to become a VE11 and part is going to become a VE10.
Okay.
The houses in the VE10, it will now be neutral. The houses in the VE11, it will be a foot.
Okay.
You know, again, it's not that different with the numbers 32 feet. So if for argument you said, well, now we have 35 feet, let's go to a building envelope with 35 feet, then you just add 3 feet to all of these charts and graphs. And you see that for the AE zone, everybody's roof could be 3 feet higher. For the AE6 zone, everybody's roof would be 4 feet higher than it would be today. You know, it's...
So I think what you're saying there is if you know, your individual principle says that, you know, if your thought process says we have 35 now, we want 35, you actually have just proven that it actually would actually give a few more feet.
Yeah. 32 basically comes close
number.
to giving most people the same thing that they have today.
Yeah.
So the question really comes down to, for those people that are 35 feet, how would that address those that wanted to elevate their homes properly?
Well, this doesn't...
No, I'm just throwing out a broader question.
Right.
3 to 10 feet really deals with what's existing and what you could possibly build with if you started new construction.
I mean, to some extent, this deals with people who aren't 35 feet today.
Yeah. Right.
Except that in some cases, I mean, the numbers do go up a little. In some cases, they could go higher. But this says that if we were to increase the freeboard to 3 feet in a V zone and 2 feet in an AE zone, then you're increasing where the floor goes, they still have 32 feet.
Right.
If sea level rises 5 feet in the next 100 years, you would, you know, the FEMA level goes up, and so they could still get 32 feet from that. You know, the corollary is if sea level goes down, they still get to 32 feet, but the bottom level has gone down. Deals with new construction, deals with improvements. It doesn't deal with the question about what do you do with somebody who's now at 35 feet above grade and they have to raise the building.
Mm-hmm.
Unless the numbers happen to work out.
Right, right.
It doesn't deal with that. That's a different issue.
Right.
And that's
And I don't know how many homes fall into that.
And that's an issue that we're going to have to deal with. You know, that's an issue we're going to have to deal with. But that's not this issue. So comments?
Well, David, first of all, I want to say what an excellent presentation. I mean, thank you. Town can't be so... You don't even know how lucky this town is to have somebody like David there doing that kind of work like that. So, thank you. I'm a believer in the proposed method that you've outlined in the documents you sent us to review before we came in here. I was liking what I heard at the last meeting. You've clarified, you answered all the questions that I had. Now we're just going to get into specifics and, you know, it's going to be each individual thoughts. Mine are, you know, I'll lay it online just based on what I saw and what I read before I got here was I was thinking that, you know, like the 32 you're thinking, you know, first of all, the general concept that you're proposing, I think it's a great concept. You know, because it floats.
And it's not my, you know, it's not...
Well, not you,
it's our concept.
Our concept, you know, this concept is I think, a very solid concept, all right? If we went with the 32 proposal or the 32 number, I would like to possibly see if we can. I don't know if we're allowed to do this. You know, maybe the attorney would have to look at this. But maybe in order to minimize the work for the Board of Adjustment, you know, just in case... There are cases that we're not seeing here today that people would lose something that they have today. You might be able to put, you know, we could say the 32 and then a grandfather clause, something that you would write that would say if in their building process they could prove that they would have had the 30, you know, an additional 2 feet, you know, that they would get that. It's in the code. I don't know if we can do that. If we can't, I'm still going to support this. You know, but I think that if we consider something that says that if, you know, we're taking care of 90%, there's still 10%, all right? If you come with your building application and you show that you could have had the other 3 feet, you know, because you're in the 10%, if you prove that to the satisfaction of the building code official, then you stay out of the Board of Adjustment process. You stay out of the you know, you don't have to go try to plead for that. That you already had, if you know what I'm saying.
I think I understand. I thought you were going slightly different, but I think I understand.
I think that would save maybe some hardship on some people, but you know, the overall concept, the way you just presented it, looks very technically sound, and it floats with FEMA, which is a very reasonable legislation, regulation, ordinance.
I mean, it does float.
Yeah. That's so, an additional adder that might protect those who might feel that they might be able to lose something if we just said in a regulation, if you prove that you run the formula as we write today, and you prove that you could have had another foot or two or three, we're not talking anything big, it's not like 10 feet or anything like that, you know. So, you prove you could have the other feet and you want it, you know, in your architectural feature, or, you know, it gives you that 9-foot ceiling instead of 8-foot ceiling that you might want, then you get it beyond, you know, as long as the building code official agrees with that proof. So Mike's not here today. He might be able to, debate that a little bit, but, you could try that.
So your point is that you would want this to be available, this challenge to be available to anybody building new or anybody improving?
Substantial improvement, yes. You got wiped out by the storm greater than 50%, and now you got to rebuild.
But you would also want this to be, I come in and I bulldoze the lot and I build something totally new.
I have a
choice between these two models?
No, I'd say you're stuck with the model that that you're proposing, the new way. Okay, but if you run that calculation and you also run an old calculation, you yourself back in your office, and you see that the new way you would have had a 39-foot high building, and the old way you would have had a 41-foot, and you actually want that 2 feet, that you could prove to the building official that you had that 41, you know, when this legislation was enacted. So your grandfather, you know, with that extra 2 feet or whatever in case you wanted it. So you wanted a 9 foot ceiling, you know, instead of 8 foot.
Well, there's no way you would get that based on the current, is there?
Well, he's saying,
we're currently measuring from grade. And we're saying
flat level is higher than grade.
Some of them go down though. Some of the, and then a couple of them go down.
Well, this area in here is going from 6 to 5.
Yeah.
Okay. But grade right here is 2. So they still have to. So somebody who is, pick on Jim Laird or the house next door to him, you know, grade is a foot and he's in an AE6 zone or something, so it's 7.
7, right.
So he's 7 above 1, so he's given up 6, so he can only do 29. And we're going to offer him 32.
Okay. So he makes out. It may not be necessary to have that grandfather, but I'm thinking if you...
The question is, do you want to offer people an either-or option?
No.
I mean, but that's what you're saying. You're saying if I can pick either one, I think in most cases 32...
The highest of the two, that's what... Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay, right. Okay, I think 32 is going to generally be... Yeah. You know, all the numbers I showed you said... There are always winners and losers. There's going to be, for some reason, somebody is, Len Reed's house is up on this hill. And so he's, you know, if he measured height today from, but the house on Chicago, on the other side of Route 1 is down in a valley. And Len's going to benefit tremendously from this, and the other guy is going to get really slammed by it. But I mean, there are two, or vice versa, I can't remember which way it goes. It doesn't matter.
Well, he won't be really slammed. I mean, he'll be...
He'll get 32 feet.
He'll be a 32-foot building envelope.
Right. Whereas now he's probably a 30... I'm thinking of the building on Chicago. He's probably... Since he sits a couple of feet below grade, he's probably a 37, 38-foot building envelope. But that's one of the few cases.
But you can't build that today.
Yeah.
I would not support a two ways of doing it. So I like if I had to go a certain way, I would support the new way of doing it. And I guess without a grandfather clause, my statement to anyone who is in the 10%, if they ended up, they can go to the Board of Adjustment. And that's the avenue that...
But you know, this is trying to deal with increasing storm severity, increasing flood levels, increasing the freeboard in a way that people get to... You know, aren't penalized. And right? That's why we started this whole discussion.
Exactly.
Is...
And keep in mind, I mean, 100% of these folks aren't going to be doing what we're talking about, may not be doing so, the numbers even decrease further. So, alright, I just wanted to explore that. It was just a thought, and I think the Board of Adjustment would work, if they needed to go to, and they thought that they needed the 2 feet, they could go plead their hardship and see if it worked. So that's all I have on that. I think you're doing a great job.
Any other?
Well, you and I have talked a little bit about this, and my sense is that we use 35 feet as the building height instead of the standard that we've got, but take it at the base flood plus 1 throughout the town. And if anybody loses, that they get the benefit of what they've already got.
Well, so I mean,
we're all be on the flood zones.
So you want to replace the number of 32
to 35
with 35, and what we've seen is that everybody, pretty much everybody, at least on average and typically, either stays the same or does a little better.
Mm-hmm.
And at 35, everybody's going to do 3 feet. Mm-hmm. It's going to at least gain 3 feet, or do better.
Or do better.
I would definitely support that.
I support that
stronger than the 32, only because then there'd be really no question in my mind that we're minimizing
the impact. And this is only if you're in the 8.
It's only in the flood zone.
Only in the flood zone. And the rest would stay the same. So as the flood zone changes, so does the measurements change.
Yeah.
But it keeps everybody at a certain level, and we maintain the 35-foot height in the town.
But we change how we
measure. We change how we measure. Which, but that's, a, well, you know, that changes. Well, for whatever reason, the town came up with a base measurement. So we changed the base measurement in the flood zone. And I think that's what other people are doing now.
I had a
jurisdiction.
I had a brief conversation with my father about this before I came in tonight.
A wise man.
And he was, for those of you that don't know, he was chairman at one time of the original association that took care of this. And he said that when they talked about 35-foot height limit, they were measuring from the ground. There was no freeboard, there was no FEMA. Mm-hmm. 35 started at the ground and went up. And that's why, with these changes, then it's got to change with the FEMA coming in and the freeboard coming in.
So
but the original 35 was because they measured from the ground level.
But many of you, I mean, many of the houses put them up on, you know, double row cinder blocks or something.
Oh, they didn't even use double row. They used a single row.
Single row. Let me tell you.
So you think 30, I mean, you would go with...
I have no problem with what Jim is saying, and that solves the issue of the person who already has the 35 foot.
Right.
I don't care whether we use 32 or 35 myself, just so that it's fair and everybody has the same building envelope.
And I guess I, to some extent, push 32 rather than 35, because I think... We'll go from what we have today, which is what we've had for the last 15 years, certainly. So nobody's going to be shocked by that. And I sense the commissioners are going to have an easier time with, you know, this doesn't really make the buildings higher. But we can, what I would propose to do is I'm going to take all of this stuff, kind of mesh it up again, come back with maybe a better quality presentation.
Oh, that's a good presentation.
And a
very good.
Draft ordinance that has two numbers. Work through the presentation with two numbers, draft ordinance with two numbers, and we can, you know, make a recommendation to the, you know, we'll make sure we're comfortable with it, we'll have a public hearing, we'll recommend to the town commissioners, here are two options. We support this one more strongly than the other one, but here are two options.
Okay.
I think you can speak to it.
Sound like a plan?
Yeah, but I just...
Yeah, that's one of the notes I had in here is that we didn't have anything in the ordinance as it was drafted about what the building envelope was.
Who cares?
But you're going to include that.
Okay.
Don,
didn't hear from Don, that's all.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, believe me, I would rather not address an opinion about this. What Jim said about the 35 feet at least is consistent with our history. And I think it would ride well with the public, is all I can say to it.
Can I just ask a question? The difference between 33 and 35 feet, as I understand it, is that at 35 feet, it would make sure that no one is injured by this. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing I think Mike and Chuck were saying, is that if somebody, if 10% of the people would be injured or restricted, further restricted, and at 35 feet, no one would be. Is the idea that for the 90%, you would like it to be higher than currently is, or is it, are you suggesting it be higher to look out for the 10%?
For me, it would cover the 10%, but it really is a safety issue for those property owners that should be injured or could be injured with flooding, that they would have the opportunity to raise it to the height and not lose their house, other than that they'd have to destroy their house.
No,
Jim. Either way, we're letting them go to FEMA Plus.
Right.
So,
but for the people that have 35 feet.
We're not talking about this. Okay. Has nothing to do with that.
My sense is it's consistent, it's an easy measurement, you don't have people going to the Board of Adjustment and spending additional time and money.
Would it make sense if as an option to go to 35 they wanted to add a foot or two of freeboard to get them to be safer, would that make sense?
that would make sense for them personally for insurance reasons.
No, I'll talk about the town. I mean, it would give us a, anyway.
That's a good question, Mark.
Well, I'm, Bethany kind of dealt with that issue. South Bethany. That they wanted to do a voluntary 2-foot freeboard. And if you voluntarily added a foot or two at the bottom, you get a foot or two at the top. And
that's done along the line.
Well, but then they went back and they said they rescinded that, as I understand it. And they're now talking about mandatory, and they may give you 2 feet at the top if, with a mandatory 2 feet at the bottom, but I don't know where they are with those discussions.
I don't think...
But not, you know, they decided they're not going to do a voluntary at the bottom to have a better view. Right, I mean, to some extent this translates to wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
The reality is this is not going to impact tons of people, what we do here.
Okay.
In time, probably past our time, things will change.
So Jim, you like 35.
Yes.
Don, you like 35. The guys over here like 35.
Right.
I'm going to do two options. Now, my question would be, would you prefer the second option to be 32, or would you prefer it to be a choice where they can pick between these two options, one of which might be preferable today, the other of which will be clearly preferable in the future?
Anytime you get into allowing
okay,
us to pick
I got
and
it.
Choose, you have a problem.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm gonna tell you, you know, if we make a recommendation and you put up for a vote at the next meeting, David, I'm actually not gonna be here. I have a small minor surgery thing.
I'm gonna cancel the meeting on the 22nd of November.
All right. Okay.
So the next meeting will be the
December 6th.
Whatever it is.
Perfect.
Then, because we're not going
to
have time.
I'll have to write you an email. You know,
we're not going to have time to get any of this stuff updated and noticed and published.
And so if you write two, I'm still going to vote for the 35. So
okay.
I'll just tell you that right now. I'm not angry or anything. I just think it's, I think the 35 just could solve other people's issues.
Okay, so the next issue is the Article 10 of Chapter 185 in the Zoning Code dealing with the Board of Adjustment. And the so this is a straw man proposal that I looked at the state code, I looked at Rehoboth's code, I looked at our code, I looked at the procedures, procedures that the Board of Adjustment has been operating under. Fundamentally, we have to open up Article 10 because of the language in Chapter 101 that, you know, the FEMA requirements, the procedures, and all of that related to the Board of Adjustment. And the Board of Adjustment in 185 is not authorized to grant variances related to floodplain management regulations. And so looking at the Board of Adjustment, you know, it turned out at the code, not at the Board of Adjustment, but at the code, there are a number of things in the code that really are weird or strange or inconsistent, or, you know, it looks like pages that got lost when they were doing the original drafting. You know, one example is that while in principle the Board of Adjustment is authorized to grant a variance to any, I think it says, code, ordinance, or regulation of Chapter 185, when it actually comes to enumerating what they can grant variances to, it's only yard variances. So, I mean, if you were to take a strict interpretation of the code, they can only hear and grant variances on setbacks. And that's not the way they've operated, and that's not the way the town's really thought about it. But if you look at the code, it's like there should have been, you know, height variances and lot density variance, you know, dwelling unit density variances and lot size variances and lots of other things. But so there is that. And then the other factor that came in is the work that Mike Pereskevich and Jim are doing with Bill Mears to redo the Chapter 11, the procedures under which the Planning Commission operates. And all of this has to be consistent, and there's some changes that are being made in Chapter 11 that then become inconsistent with Chapter 10. So this is where we are, and I'm looking to you to see whether, you know, this seems like, this is not certainly not a final version, but this is something we can throw darts at. There are a couple of things in here I think need to be changed, but I wanted to see what you all felt about this and if you had any specific comments. And I'll start down at Jim. Can I start with you? Don?
Okay. In the version that, that you provided, I focused on page 8, new item B, floodplain variance, and it incorporates our changes to chapter 101, flood loss reduction, into the parameters of the Board of Adjustment. I thought that was a very important paragraph to add.
Mike? I read it, but I don't think I brought it with me. So I didn't have any comments on it.
Yeah, if I could take a look at it, just to make sure. Yeah.
If I recall, I thought that your additions in the comments were fine. Yeah, so I have no comments. I don't know why.
I don't have a whole lot either. I read through it. I think it pretty much covers everything. I think it's pretty thorough. I'm sure as time passes, there will be other things that might come to light, but I think overall, I think it's pretty good to go.
Yeah, it's an improvement. There's no doubt.
David, it's an improvement. My concern was, I really feel we need to hear from the Board of Adjustment.
Well, we have a member of the Board of Adjustment here.
And I think it's crucial that they have, you know, substantial input into this to see how this fits with their rules and procedures and what their perception of their role and responsibilities are in handling these kind of cases.
So, all right.
That's what I...
Well, we sent it to them, and I think we have a member is what Dave said.
Len, do you want to address Jim's point, or do you have any comments you'd care to make at this time?
I don't know if I should make it publicly or not. Most of the people in the Board of Justice I talked to are against it. I think we're being dictated on what our rules should be. But we have rules of procedure. We just spent a lot of time fixing them, getting them correct because of deficiencies that may be in the 185 code. And it looks like we're throwing those out at this point.
Oh, I don't think so, Len.
There's contradictions in here. A couple of them go right in our face. One, that term limits will be introduced through the Board of Adjustments.
Yeah, are you still at Town Hall?
Mark.
I don't know.
Mark.
Term limits, the term limits get put in here as a change, and that was because that's in Rehoboth's code.
They're in there.
Right, that's...
And I don't know if they're in Rehoboth's code or not.
They are in Rehoboth's code. And that's a policy issue, and the policy is the town council's purview.
Yes, it is.
And it's for them to decide policy.
They
make recommendations.
We spent a lot of time, and I took a lot of heat on this issue of limiting public testimony at hearings. Appeal hearings as opposed to variances. And there's a direct conflict in here with that, allowing the public to give comment at hearings. So it looks like...
Well, that again is a policy issue.
It's a rules issue with the Board of Adjustments. You're trying to dictate to us how we operate. And we don't like it.
So, would it be possible? I mean, we're not under any major time constraint to clean this up, but we need to do, you know, to clean some language up. I think I would recommend that maybe we have a joint meeting with both, you know, some representatives or a couple of representatives of each one to see what makes sense for everybody rather than to do it in isolation maybe and then sending it off. It seems to me maybe our members of our committee and members of the Board of Adjustment could just meet to go over this so that we're all on the same page. We could certainly hear from you, Len, and your representatives.
We were never given a heads up this is occurring. That's a slap in the face.
Would you be amenable to that?
I don't know. Why rewrite the whole?
We may not have to rewrite everything. I think.
Len, we sent you the language from 101, which is FEMA language, which the town has to enact.
You didn't send anything on Article 10.
Article 10. This is the first time this has come before the Planning Commission. You know, it's not. Not ready for, you know, it wasn't ready for prime time. It, you know, up until today has not represented the Planning Commission's thoughts on the subject. It's, you know, not clear today it represents the Planning Commission's thoughts on the subject. It's a work in progress.
So, having said that, would it be appropriate for us to throw an olive branch potentially and maybe get together with the Board of Adjustment, or several of us to get together with members of the Board of Adjustment, to go over what we're proposing and how that may or may not impact you from the Board of Adjustment.
That needs to be done, especially for the 101, because I don't know if we have any jurisdiction. We have no state anointment to be dealing with FEMA, anything dealing with FEMA. I mean, that's a federal issue. And what would ever give us the right to make any variances according to the FEMA rules?
You have the FEMA has granted towns the authority to delegate to town entities the authority to grant variances from certain aspects of the floodplain management code.
That question's answered then.
It is, you know, when it is embedded in our code, it is our code. FEMA, it's kind of dictated, I mean, it has to be acceptable to FEMA, but it is our code. My understanding is that you can, for example, in terms of the base flood elevation, the town has the authority to waive the town's freeboard requirement to have the Board of Adjustment give a variance to this freeboard, but not to the FEMA requirement. So, I mean, you know, there are some areas where, as I understand it, you know, we said the Board of Adjustment's the right entity in the town of Dewey Beach to deal with this. You know, we could have said the building official is, but, you know, that doesn't make any sense, I don't think. So it's my understanding that, I mean, specifically in 101, the towns are given the authority to grant variances to elements of the flood damage reduction ordinance as approved by FEMA. Okay, any other? So this looks good. I'll go over this.
Draft with the understanding that we meet.
I'll update the draft and we'll try and work with Len to get a workshop together with whoever can attend. You know, maybe this will be another one of the town manager convened workshops and, you know, we'll just figure out how to do it because then we don't need a quorum.
No, I think if we just did a workshop to discuss the issues and have representatives, maybe two representatives from the Board of Adjustment, two representatives.
I would say whoever wants to come comes. You know, I'm not going to say only two because we all have different opinions and different priorities, and whoever can come can come. And
I'm happy to set that up with y'all if you want me to set that up.
Okay. I mean, we're trying to.
If you want to set up or something, you don't want me to set up.
I guess you have to set it up.
Okay. Thank you, Mark.
Well, I think it's important that we get together with the Board of Adjustment. Because if Glenn's got issues, and some of his members have issues, then you know, why wouldn't we bring a juggernaut into the commissioners? I mean, it seems to me we ought to be working in tandem together so we have kind of an agreement of where we're going with this.
Well,
so,
we have to change
the 101. We've got
we have to change aspects of this, and then the issue is, do you want to correct the failings of this?
Well, I think...
I mean, the Board of Adjustment, you know, if one strictly reads the code, the Board of Adjustment has basically no power. Yard variances is it.
Well, that's an interpretation.
That's an interpretation that would, I believe, if anybody challenged any of the actions...
We ought to put down the points where we think there are...
And that's what I think we can
and
do.
And that we can discuss and get some clarity on that. That's all.
Yes. Yeah. So we will do that at a meeting, and I'll see when some dates might be good for us, and Len can see when some dates will be good for them. And the third issue is Chapter 1. The definitions in Chapter 1, and I have a lot of comments about that, but I'm interested in comments from my colleagues here. So this is definitions. In 2008, the Planning Commission made a set of recommendations for amendments to the definitions to the town commissioners. Along with a major update on Chapter 185 zoning, as well as new zoning maps as part of the kind of second stage of adopting a comprehensive plan to amend the zoning code to enable that plan. So the plan and the zoning code get enacted by the commissioners, and the definitions kind of never get taken up after that. And so what we have here is basically a redlined version. I believe it's a properly redlined version between what the recommendation was from the Planning Commission back in 2008 and the code as it currently exists today, which was never amended. And
I'm sorry, Chairman King, can I just ask, are the red lines what is coming from 2008 and the black is what exists now?
That is basically correct.
Thank you.
Added or subtracted or...
Thank you.
So if it's red and underlined, it was added in 2008, and if it is scratched out, it was... If it's... Is it called cross-through or struck through or...
Struck out,
it was deleted in the recommendation in 2008 from the Planning Commission.
And the black we have now.
I believe the black is what we have now.
Thank you.
And what we had back in 2008. So what I would propose to do is two things. Much of this language, you know, so now we have a philosophical question. We have some chapters that have definitions within them, and we've certainly seen that in working through Chapter 101. So there are chapters that have definitions that are relevant to the chapter. And then we have this set of definitions that is in a chapter that is called general provisions. So presumably, I mean, I would think from a structural perspective that the definitions that get lodged here should be general definitions that run through more than one chapter of the code, and definitions that are only pertinent to the chapter 185 should be perhaps embedded in chapter 185.
I see what you're saying.
I think we talked about that in 2008, but decided that that just seemed like a lot of work, and it was easier to do this. And then there's a question of, do we really need to define some of these things? Like, do we really need to define an alley? Or do we just point to, you know, some standard architectural reference source as, you know, if it's not specifically defined, then it's the definition that you would find in this, you know, dictionary. I'm sure that the town's lawyer can recommend a reference that would deal with, you know, many of these, you know, automated teller machine. Do we need to define automated teller machine? You know. An awning, maybe we need to define awning because we have restrictions specifically for awnings in the code.
And how sometimes they cross over into signs.
So what I would like you all to do for homework is to go through this and identify, so take each one of these definitions and answer the question, should this be in chapter 1 or should this be in chapter 185? Or should this not be anywhere? And if it should be in chapter 1 or chapter 185, is this a definition that we want today? And if it's something that might be complicated, Gary Mahler would like us to put pictures in.
Oh, would he now?
So, you know, I see no reason why, you know, why you might not want a picture.
Isn't that nice?
Picture's worth 1,000 words, you know. Pardon?
So is Webster's Dictionary without pictures.
Well, but Webster's Dictionary... Well, my collegiate dictionary has pictures. But I mean, all facetiousness aside, I think we need to kind of take this and split it between chapter 1 and chapter 185 and maybe some other chapters too. And, you know, so this, I would like you to get back to me. We're meeting on December 6th. So, you know, if you could get me something by the 23rd, you know.
Okay.
Of November?
Of November. Right, you know.
Okay. What about after Thanksgiving? During, just...
That's,
Is that too late for you?
I mean, you know, whatever. I mean, my goal would be put all this together.
You're looking for by the 23rd.
I want to be able to post something.
Okay.
By the 28th of November.
Okay.
You know, I try to always post the stuff a week before the meeting,
gotcha.
And so, okay. You know, I need a couple of days to, since that's a day after Thanksgiving, I need some. You know, if your comments are going to get put into the...
You need a little time or something.
Into the pot.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Then, you know, you can always come to the meeting with other comments.
Yeah.
But
okay.
If you want to get in the pot, then you've got to...
Okay.
You know, you got to get me something.
Okay.
David, one thing. You mentioned that we need to look at whether part of this needs to go to Chapter 1 and part of it to Chapter 185. Isn't there some way that we can put definition one place... just one place?
We could do that too. The reason I like to go the other way, I mean, we should do one or the other way. The reason I like to put definitions that are pertinent only to a chapter is because then you only need that chapter. And you don't need to then, you know, you don't need to look at two documents. Right.
But if you get two separate chapters and you happen to get two different definitions.
That's
a problem that's been a problem.
Well, so, you know, somebody's going to have to deal with that, because if that's a problem, that's a problem today, and it's, until somebody fixes that, it's going to continue to be a problem. Some of my comments about the first couple of definitions here are that they are inconsistent with the definitions recommended by FEMA in 101. So they have to be, you know, if nothing else, they have to be changed in Chapter 1. But that's a different issue from all of this.
My point is, if all the definitions are one place, if you're not sure what the word means, you only have one place you have to go look at it. And I think that's
that
much better.
Be done, than I think that's a great idea. It's simpler for everybody. If that could be done without too much of a hassle, but it seems to me one place to go for a definition should fit all areas. And maybe we should just concentrate on the ones that fit into the 185 as a start.
Well,
we really deal with all the time, and we just put them in the front. Now, not all these definitions are going to be, I would assume, well, most of them actually are in our area.
Most of them are 185 definitions.
Yes.
So Chuck, you would like to stick all the definitions here.
Yep.
And we make reference.
Including, I mean, then you get into that. I don't think we can pull all the definitions out of Chapter 101. I don't think FEMA would let us do that. So we can do maybe everything except Chapter 101.
Well, that's possible. I mean, if FEMA's definitions must be in 101 or Chapter 1, then leave it there.
But also put them in here.
But also put duplicate in here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And stick all of
everything
in here.
Yeah.
Okay. So then the issue is, scratch what I said about parsing them into two piles. Everything goes into one pile. That's fine.
What's worth keeping?
What's worth referencing to, you know, an independent outside body? What's an appropriate, you know, definition for the things that are worth keeping? I'm good with that.
I like that idea. I have a question as far as, what do we do when we come up with something where we don't have an existing definition? Can we make a reference that we're going to follow some other definition?
Well, I think if we identify...
If there's
the standard,
yeah,
it would be, if it's not defined here, it's the definition in the standard.
Right. That's what I would like to see, so that it will clear up some confusion if we don't have a definition. And I'll use the classic one, what's 2.5 stories? Well, we didn't have, we identified, but we really never had a definition.
We did have a definition, it just never got adopted.
It just never got adopted.
All right.
But if we have something that says that this is the standard that we're going
to
use...
Then you go to the standard and you look it up, and hopefully it has 2.5 stories or a half story. And
okay. You know, that's what I'm talking about.
I don't know what the standard is we'd want to use, but...
Well, I don't know either.
Okay. Gary, do you have a reference for a standard? Black's Architectural Digest or something? We'll get it.
Well, I don't know. Maybe the International Building Code has something down there that we could look at. I don't know.
You know, if the International Building Code has
a set of definitions, or the county standard, or is...
Well, if it's got a definition for all this stuff, you know, I'm quite happy to go with that. And every year, every time we update which version of the IBC
we use, it's so much easier.
Because most of these are
maybe
building code standards.
Mike might know that.
Yeah, I mean, he probably has access to codes from all kinds of different municipalities. I mean,
that's so we're good with that.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. Yeah. I just need to know when I was going through my little, my own little personal schedule when I was asking.
Sooner is better than later.
He got it.
And you know that
maybe I'll just do it tomorrow and be done with it.
No, I'm going to try and get something posted on the 28th.
So we'll try to get something to you
before
the 28th.
Yeah, I mean, the 22nd, 23rd is a Sunday. You know, if you could get me something by the end of that weekend, then at least I can decide whether I want to do it the day before or the day after Thanksgiving.
Well, since my Redskins are doing it, I'll take that time, too.
any other commissioner comments?
If we went with the International Building Code, which version does the town recognize today?
2012 version. And we recognize whatever the county recognizes.
Okay.
And we update every...
Whenever they update.
I think the county had about a 4-year gap.
Yeah.
And they just adopted 2012. Probably, I think it was
2008 or something.
2008. So they went from 8 to 12. No. Well, I think that Jim's suggestion is right. Whatever the county recognizes is the one that we recognize.
Yeah.
And we have a copy on file at the office.
And I doubt that many of these things... definitions change, and if they have definitions in them. I mean, they must have some. Any other commission comments?
I have none. Thank you, David.
Public comments?
I just have a question. You guys went over pretty quickly Article 11.
We spent no time on Article 11 because there's been no update to that.
I stepped out and I didn't know what it was.
No, it...
there were two sections in there that I would like you all to take a look at, and that's 79 and 82.
I'm sorry, 79 and 82?
Only because I want to understand what your all perspective is on what we should be doing with that now, because we're really... I could use some help on that. And one, it is 79, a certificate of occupancies, and that is, at what point do we issue certificate of occupancies? I'd like y'all to review that. And then also, on 185.82, it talks about filing fees. And I want to make sure that I understand it, so I'd like to hear what y'all, as you all review it, I'd like to hear what y'all...
Well, I hope that the next time we come together, we will have...
And
some progress on, some more progress on this.
Just so specific on that. And then,
which are in particular, Mark?
See, 79 and 82.
Which part in that? The filing fee.
It's not that long. It's this one page right here. It's A, B, C, D.
It's mostly A.
A, okay.
Okay.
No vacant land should be up right. Yeah, I see what you're saying. Okay.
And then the other thing is that I am starting to get requests for beach activities next year. And I'd like to ask you all to take a window of maybe now to January to come up with thoughts on new beach rules so we can get it to the commissioners. Otherwise, I'm kind of in a limbo land when people come in and ask me for... activities on the beach. I used to say kind of yes to everything and try to make it work as long as Todd and David Line was okay. Now I'm a little gun shy because of all the discussions of last year, so I just want to let y'all know that I'm starting to get people asking me, and I'd like some guidance either you all need to get involved or not for next year.
Okay, well that's one of the things that's on our timeline for...
I just want to give you a day we go.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
So one of the things that's coming up at our next meeting, which is Saturday, December 6th at 10 a.m., is the Comp Plan Annual Report. And so we're required by the State Office of Planning Coordination every year to issue a report, and the report is supposed to detail our goals against achieving our progress against achieving the goals and objectives of our comp plan. It has nothing to do with the comp plan or what the comp plan is all about. It just has to do with, check a box. We're completed.
We're in progress. We haven't started. And if we want to make some comments, we can make some comments. But I mean, that's they want to count the numbers in the boxes. Mm-hmm. And that's due in June. And this is kind of the time when we have done it when the Planning Commission has done it, then it goes to the Town Commissioners. And so I will, again, amongst the other stuff I put out for the next meeting, we'll give you a red line. We'll give you a copy of last year's report. And if I have time, I will add what I think, what from my perspective are things that we have changed, you know, what projects have we started, which ones have we completed, and then we can just update it. And I suspect that if you spend some time with us beforehand, this should be like a 15-minute discussion.
So is it okay to come to the meeting with our comments, or you want us to give you those beforehand?
Like, come to the meeting with your comments.
Got it. December 6th.
December 6th.
Okay, perfect.
You know, because all we're going to do is, you know,
I've seen
to
that
some
before.
Extent, all we're going to do is move the X from,
right.
You know, move it over one or not.
Right.
And, you know, so we can have a discussion over, I don't mean to trivialize the exercise, but I don't think for us it's a significant exercise.
It's not a lot of work. It's used at the state level. Right.
You know, it's sad that the town still doesn't have an owner of the comprehensive plan. It doesn't matter. We'll do that. We'll work on the height determination model. We'll try and work to put together a workshop with members of the Board of Adjustment. That's not going to be on the 6th, but I will hopefully have an updated draft. We will address commercial activities on the beach. And depending on how I think that's all going to work for timing, we may address zoning in the neighborhood residential district. We didn't do it this time because I still have not gotten any input from you all on the current white paper. And I haven't gotten an update from Bill Coburn and Tim Arnold, who have been promising me an update.
So, okay, so.
So if you, yeah, fine.
You did ask us for that?
I did ask you for that.
Okay, that's our bad. Sorry about that. We will.
To make things easier for you, would you give us, just send us a note of things that you want us to do?
I will send you the minutes of the meeting with the action items highlighted.
God bless you all of you.
I'll pull that copy. Yeah. No, we owe you
I will be more explicit. Okay. Any public comments? Any motions?
I have a comment.
No, it's
comments.
Well, we're due for a plus review regarding the rezoning on Rocky, and I got an email from Laura Simmons from the Office of State Planning. We're scheduled for November 26th at 11 o'clock in Dover. So I asked her who would be appropriate to attend, and my God, they recommended the town manager and you, somebody from Planning Commission, to go to be there. Well, I can...
You could double duty.
November 26th. I'm not in town.
Deputy town manager and...
Unfortunately, I'm not in town.
There's no way.
What day is that? Is that a
26th?
Is that the Wednesday?
I'm not able to do that.
It's Thanksgiving.
Is it the day before Thanksgiving?
Forget it.
27th.
I'm not traveling here. No, forget it.
It's the worst day in
America. I mean, it's bad enough we have this meeting on the 25th with FEMA.
True. Yeah, I'm wondering whether I'll have to contact her because it's going to be tough.
The 26th is.
Well, the plus review, I think I want to do it like once a month. So it would not be till December 24th, probably.
You're going to have
But that's what she sent. She sent me an email. I got it yesterday. I sent it to you, Mark, and I sent it to the mayor.
I don't want to cross the Delaware Memorial Bridge at 2 o'clock on...
Oh, boy. I'm just going to tell her that maybe we should just reschedule. There's no urgency at this point. Okay. I just wanted to bring that up.
Okay. Motion?
Motion to adjourn?
Second. All in favor?
Aye.